Not big season. We all have a mini season that we're going through right now. It might even be something that nobody here knows about. And God has a word for you. Because there's no accident that you're here. There's no accident you've been invited. And there's no accident that you made an effort to get up on a Saturday morning, make all the arrangements you needed to, maybe cancel or rearrange a few things, and show up. And God sees that. He cares, and I believe He has a word for you. Today, this hour, and you're here for a purpose, for a blessing, and I even believe for more than one blessing. So, listen, watch, and receive. Let me go ahead and pray over our time together. Okay. Lord, thank you so much. You do call us by name, Lord. You do invite us, God. This is just an earthly picture of the invitation that you give each of us, God. We've shown up. We now sit at your feet, Lord. We choose to put all the cares and thoughts behind us, turn off our phones, just focus on you, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want to feel your love and know your presence with us. So we ask that now, Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you here in this place to make manifest your presence and your love. Father, I humble my mouth before you. I ask that you would use it as an instrument for your grace and your love and your truth and your embrace. And I thank you in advance for doing that because I believe by faith that is your plan tonight. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. He is my Jesus. Is he yours? Jesus is more real to me than you are sitting in this room. And I love him so much. And I'm so grateful. And I feel that that song really captured the heart of so many stories many of us have about who he is and how real he is. But I didn't always know Jesus. I grew up going to church, but and I'm very, very thankful to my parents for that. They laid some amazing foundations and planted seeds that I live on today. But the church we went to was what I would call just empty religion. There really was no introduction of Jesus as a friend, as a not just a savior, but also a Lord. So what do I mean? Well, let me just kind of think about religion versus relationship, okay? So religion is going to church because it's a good thing to do, and I'd better do it. I shoulda, woulda, coulda, better, okay? Relationship is going because I love Jesus in relationship with him. I'm grounded in him, in relationship with him, and that fuels my relationship with those around me. I go because I love him, not because I'm supposed to and I'll be a bad little girl if I don't. Religion is doing good things to earn God's favor. Oh, he's watching. Uh-oh, I better be careful. Religion is trying to earn something that relationship with Jesus tells us we already have. When we surrender our life to the Lord and he saves us and he's the Lord of our lives, in relationship with him, he gives us a new identity. You're already favored by God. You already have all the love you could ever get from him. You can't get any more love from him. He's got all the love he's already given to you. It's a matter of whether we walk in it. And relationship with him is based on that. Religion can even be a head knowledge. We can know a lot about the word of God, but it stops there in just knowing it. Where relationship is where we know the truth and we live in it. We walk in it. We breathe in it and we embrace it. Relationship with Jesus is knowing our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, I, speaking of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So he died in our place because we couldn't, because we have a death penalty on us because of sin. We were born into it. We've got it no matter what. We can't pay the death penalty. Jesus did. He paid it in our place. And as a result, he's like a bridge now. He's God, and he's also the way to the Father, And when we know the Father in relationship, it's like coming home every day, all over again, the home we never knew we needed. You see, your Heavenly Father will never abandon you. He will never speak down to you or condemn you. He won't look at you with a disapproving eye. He won't stand and expect more and more from you that you can't give. He longs to be in loving, gentle, compassionate, patient, kind relationship with you as his child. And it's only through Jesus that we can have this. Do you know God that way? I didn't. I knew religion. And for me, it was hypocritical. Because deep inside, when we walk in religion and the shoulda, coulda, and no relationship there, or based in love for God, it's a burden we can't live up to. We can't carry it. And at some point, we realize, wow, there are hypocrites in church. And at Walgreens. And at Myers. And at the playground. I'm a hypocrite. We're all hypocrites. We all say one thing and do another. None of us keeps our word perfectly, even if we try. At some point, we do fall short, and it's evident to us. But personal relationship with Jesus is this. I fall short of the glory of God every day, and I can't save myself from that. Jesus can. I surrender to you. I'm done trying to do this on my own, because religion is exhausting. It's exhausting because it's all on me. Yet relationship with Jesus is total peace and rest. Why? Because it's all on him. It's all on him. And it's how it was designed to be. He says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Are we doing that? You can. You can do that. And we choose to surrender to him. And the more we give up and surrender to him, the more his strength gets stronger within us to do what we can't do on our own. It's called grace. And it's so cool. Well, so religion, it was exhausting for me, and I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. So when I graduated from high school, I'm like, I'm not going to church anymore. What's the purpose? It was empty for me. But there was a problem. There was another great emptiness. And it was the emptiness of my soul. There was a God-shaped hole inside of me that could only be filled by God and not by anything else in the world. This just came up last week in a discussion with a couple friends of mine. And again, it fueled, just really, God gave me such a beautiful picture of what he wanted to share today. So I'm kind of moving from that, and it was just so beautiful how God has brought everything together today by not one person, but like 20 people, and God's done the whole thing, and we give you glory for that, Lord. Thank you. So we all have this God-shaped hole, okay? Think a little heart right here. Until the Lord comes in and fills that hole, we will go out and try and fill it ourselves. Why? Because it is a gnawing echo, an unquenchable thirst. It's an insatiable desire that must be satisfied. That emptiness demands to be filled. It's in our design. You see, God designed you with this hole. And he designed you to have it filled by him. But when sin entered the world, and we're born into sin, we now have this wrestling inside of us, where if God's not filling that up, we will fill it with something else. What are some of those examples? You could probably think of some of those. Drugs might temporarily numb the ache that void causes. Both prescription or illegal drugs, it can numb it. Alcohol soothes that pain for an hour or two. Provocative behavior might be utilized to get attention, to feel desirable and wanted. Excessive shopping can relieve the angst or maybe help us feel significant for a moment. Compulsive behavior sometimes is done just to chill out and to take the edge off of that emptiness. Even unhealthy relationships and a cycle of abuse is our efforts to try and fill that hole in a way that was never designed. Because all it is I end up beating myself up over not being perfect, not being able to live up to this. And that's not what God calls for. This is it. This is it right here. Relationship with Him. And yes, we can even use food to fill up that emptiness and to provide relief. But all these things, the more we pour those into that hole, they just come gushing out in a bottomless pit, leaving us empty again the next day. And this isn't just for people who, oh, I'm not a believer. I don't know. I'm going to go live my way. No, guys, this is us too. If you've been a Christian for 20, 30 years, 40 years, we are still fallen. We still fall short of the glory of God. And while Jesus has filled that God-shaped hole in us, you've heard it said we can leak. We're cracked pots and we can leak because we can tend to fall for the temptations of the world and the flesh and what the devil has to offer us. We need to be refilled. And as we enter into a new season, I've found suddenly God's like, honey, there's a portion right here. You've been going to fill it over there. You found your acceptance in that person more than who I told you that you are. You're looking for acceptance. I've already given you acceptance. I gave you an identity. You're my daughter. I accept you fully. I'm your father. Oop, I forgot that. Lord, I'm sorry. I was over here and I made this person up on a little pedestal. And I've been looking to them to tell me I'm okay, to tell me that I'm accepted. Well, after 8 years into adulthood, after I turned 18, and 8 years of trying to fill that void in my soul with many of the ways I just listed, I met Jesus, and He filled that empty space, and He does it. I didn't have to do that. All I did was surrender to Him and stop trying to be Lord of my own life. Surrender to Him. And yes, it's taken time since then to undo some unhealthy habits and behavior that just took time after that. But I finally had met my Maker here on earth, and things finally made sense. It's like a water bottle, okay? We were created to be filled by God, by the pure water of God. But we were born with sin. You see the bottom of this bottle? It's open. It is a bottomless pit. So you take these things in life. That's trash. Alcohol, relationships, making our children more important than God, food to comfort us, feeling insignificant because we don't have many friends. Why don't I go find a new job and that'll make me maybe feel better? I better buy some clothes. I want to look like them. All these things, they're trash. Spit on. I'm sorry, but I'm going to get graphic. Vomited on, disgusting, and they don't satisfy. All they do is go back out the bottom, and you come back again and realize it's not working, or I just need another one. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Only the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, the living water of Jesus, is going to satisfy us, keep us whole, fill us up, screw on the lid, and seal us. God says He has sealed us by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed. This one, I don't even know where the lid went. Here it is. We tried to put the lid on. We can't even get it on straight. Everything fell out anyway. Only the Lord can fill us up and then seal us. And yes, we need to stay in connection with Him. We all know if you have a friend or you're married or you have a child, if you don't stay connected in relationship with them, there's going to be a chasm between you and that person. Well, that's just a reflection of relationship with God as well. You may still be saved, but if you're not walking in that relationship and talking with Him and living and breathing Him in and out, it's not much of a relationship. It's a little dead or maybe stagnant. But He gives us a solution for that, thank the Lord. So you might ask, how does this all connect to food? I'm glad you asked. What is this? Right? Okay, it's a Bible. All right. And what is the Bible? God's Word. That's right. Good. Well, what does that mean? Again, we'll turn to God and ask Him to answer that for us. And He tells us in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, let's break it down. In the beginning, before you and me, before our parents, before our grandparents, before our great-great-great-great-grandparents, before Adam and Eve, who, by the way, were the first human beings God created, and yes, God created them, and He created them male and female, and He celebrates that, and He loves us, and He has given us an identity that is beautiful. Before all that was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is God. Well, not the hard book cover and not the paper and the ink. That's not God. The essence of what's inside here, His Word spoken, is Him. And the Bible goes on to tell us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that was in the beginning became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. And here He is. Then Jesus says, man cannot live by bread alone. Well, we're going to go out and eat and enjoy and celebrate and just wonderful time together here in a little while to eat. God said, you can't live by that alone. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Wait a minute. Okay, if you were stranded on an island for 3 months and you had no food at all, 6 months, are you going to die? Yes, you need food to survive. You need food to fuel you. Well, let's say you're on that island for 5 months and you got a Bible. 6 months, a year, are you going to survive? You're going to die. You need food to survive. Okay, so what does that mean? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yes, you would die if you didn't eat physical food, but you'd die physically. But if we don't eat of this, the Word of God, we will die spiritually. And that is way more dangerous of a concern than dying physically, although I value all of your lives and God does too. But there's a big difference. Jesus said, if you know Him and you eat His Word, you will have everlasting life. You will live forever and you will spiritually never die. It's really cool. Eat this, inhale it, drink it, consume it, gobble it up. Gobble it up. How? It's really easy. Just start reading. This isn't rocket science. We open it and we eat it. It's your bread, your daily nourishment, and it keeps that God-shaped hole filled up and satisfied. Because you can't help but feel the love of God as you spend time in His Word. Did you know that the devil is real? He's real. It's real simple. Again, this is super simple. There's God. There's the devil. God loves you. The devil hates you. God wants to give you life. The devil wants to take your life. What is his issue? Why doesn't he go pick on somebody else? Why on earth does he care about bugging us so much? Why doesn't he just take it up with God, right? I mean, what's his issue? See, he wants to be in God's place. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be adored. He wants to be honored as the one that's was and is to come. Okay, well, take it up with God. Man, I'm just tired of bugging me. Oh, wait a minute. He already did take it up with God. And he lost. God won that. We already know the ending. God told us what it is because this is truth and I eat it. And I find total peace in knowing the end of the story. I don't even have to be afraid of what's going on in our world right now, because I know I'm never going to die spiritually. I got eternal life. I don't like what's going on. It makes me nervous. I don't like the future for our children. But I got this. Okay. So he takes it up with God. God wins that battle. Now, why is he bugging you and me? Why does he want to take us out? Because we were made in the image of God. When you stand and you look in the mirror, I pray you never think the same thing again that you did up until this morning, ever. Because you're made in the image of God. God is the three-in-one God. Think of a pretzel twisted together, or an egg. You got the shell, and you got the yolk and the white. One egg, right? But three distinct parts. You are one person with three distinct parts. You have a body. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you have a spirit. Three in one. I'm not three people. I'm one. I'm made in the image of God, and you are beautiful. And he has a purpose and a plan for you after we're done here. It doesn't stop here. This is just the beginning, guys. We have an eternal calling. We're going to have jobs and responsibilities and joys and pleasures and people to hang out with. And it's all going to be without sin and without death. If you know Jesus, inhale him, consume him, eat the word. That's what he has for us. And I'm convinced, speaking of food, that because Jesus is our bread, and because he's the only way to the Father, and because he's the one who died for our sins and rose again, proving he's God, and because he's the only one who can give us eternal life, and because he's the word that we're to eat, and he's the only one that can fill that God-shaped hole. Because of that, I believe that food is one of the biggest areas that the devil will come and attack us with, tempt us with, and trip us up with. You know how sin entered the world, right? Let's do a really quick history lesson, all right? Now, pay special attention to the order of these events. God created everything in 6 days. Everything. The sun, moon, stars, the trees, the land animals. And on day 6, he created Adam and Eve. And on day 7, he rested. Okay, there you go. Basic beginning of humanity and the earth and the universe. So he places his precious two children, Adam and Eve, into this glorious garden with exotic trees, with so much food that they can eat. In Genesis 2, it says, out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the eyes and good for food. Did you catch that? He gave them trees that were enjoyable to look at and that were good for them to eat from. And then came the warning. Follow the order of events here. Then came the warning. Now, of every tree you may eat freely. Everyone say, freely eat. Freely. Freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay, let's reflect on that for a minute. So they're enjoyable to look at. They're good for food. But don't eat of this one, because if you do, you'll die. So here's the gift. Freely eat. But here's the warning. A boundary. I've given you a boundary. I've even told you what's going to happen if you eat it. Now, intriguingly, up to this point, there had been no death yet. Do you think they knew what die meant? He said, you're going to eat of that tree. If you eat of it, you die. Do you think they're like, what do you think he means? What's that word mean? I know what elephant is. I gave it that name. I know what monkey is. I named the monkeys, but what's he talking about die? I don't know, honey. Should we ask him? I don't know. Let's think about this for a minute. What is die? They didn't even know what death was. You want to know why? Sin causes death. They hadn't sinned. Everything was perfect. It was the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Everything was great. No, they didn't know what death was. But there was a boundary. And who do you think slithered up along the tree or wherever he came in the form of a snake? The devil. And how do you think he tempted Eve while she was by herself? With food. And he said, surely you won't die if you eat that, because if you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. And she looks at it. She's like, wow, it is good to eat. It makes me wise. I think I will. She didn't know what death was. Oh, when she ate that apple and gave it to her husband and sin entered the world, do you know what happened? I believe because sin separates from us from God, and because they had to be removed from the garden after that, because they couldn't dwell in the presence of God because of their sin, I believe what happened was the glory of God that had enveloped them. They probably sparkled, and there was probably this beautiful, because just think of the glory of God. It must be amazing. We can't even imagine this. It disappeared off of them, and they looked and they said, oh, we're naked. Have you ever thought, like, why did they suddenly look, oh, I'm naked? Didn't they know that before they ate the apple or whatever the fruit was? Makes you wonder. I think it's because the presence of God was so totally around them and in them and on them that when they ate of the apple, all of it just, it disappeared, because sin can't dwell in the midst of a holy God. That's why we need Jesus. Religion says, oh, well, I'll be good enough. I think I did a good, my good things outweigh the bad, right? No, relationship. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you. I can't save myself. The glory of God's not on me. I need you. And he comes and he restores what we lost in the garden. And it gets fully manifest when we see him face to face. So I'm going to have a few volunteers, okay? We need 4 volunteers. Let's have 4 daring women. Raise your hand. Jennifer. Okay, come here, Jennifer. Jennifer looks to her mom. That's her hand. Come on up. Pam, Carrie. One more. Come on over, Jennifer. All right, Jennifer, you stand here. Pam next to her. There you go. Carrie right here. Anyone else? Anyone? Shirley, come on up. Okay. All right, so watch. Order of events. This is so cool. Ready? After creation, this is why I called her up, you know, right? So after God creates everything, and Adam and Eve, he says, eat. It's good. It's good. Eat. And then he says, oh, but wait, there's a boundary. Don't eat of that tree. Okay? Freely eat of all the other, who knows how many thousands he gave them. Don't eat that one. You don't need to linger around it, stare at it all the time. All right? Then Adam and Eve disobeyed. They disobeyed. Do you think that if they knew what death was, they would have disobeyed? Do you think if they flashed forward and saw all the ways that sin and death have ruined humanity, that they would have done it? Do you think when we look back on our past, on the things that we regret, that we did out of ignorance, stupidity, selfishness, rebellion, that if we could go back now with the knowledge we have, we wouldn't have done it? That's what happened. They didn't know what death was. We don't know the consequences of our choices when we choose things out of disobedience, out of rebellion, out of selfishness. And I know, like a whole list of things. But when we bring them to Jesus, he fixes all those things back right in the God-shaped hole in our hearts. It doesn't mean I don't have regrets. I still have regrets. But I'm not condemning myself over them anymore. Big difference. Okay, after they disobeyed, sin entered the world, as did death. Now, here's the whopping $10,000 question. When did death enter the world? Hint. Right here, right? Right here? When did God say eat? Down there. Did he say eat before or after death came in the world? Before. So God gave us food. The original design of food. He gave us food. What? Wait a minute. It wasn't to help us survive. It wasn't to help us stay alive. There was no death yet. We didn't need anything to keep us alive and have energy. There was no sin. No one got tired because they'd worked too hard that day. You know, that was it. He said, eat, freely eat. Don't eat of that one. Oop, disobeyed. Sin, death came in. Guess what? The original design for food was not to keep us alive. Oh, it does now. Thank you, Lord. We need it. The original design for food was then for what? Enjoy. Yes! To enjoy. To enjoy. And might I also add, to enjoy with him, as we're with others, to enjoy with the Lord when we're by ourselves eating a snack, to enjoy with him. Because when were they separated from God's presence? After sin and death came in the world, they had to be removed from God's presence. Until then, God's presence enveloped them and he had communion with them. They were one together. And they could eat, enjoying it and enjoying God, delighting in him. Thank you. Let's give our volunteers a round of applause. Well, when I first learned that food was for my enjoyment, I'll be honest with you, it kind of frightened me. No, really. Because more often than not, I've been one to, refrain myself from freely eating, hold back, don't eat that, you know, count the calories, you know. And if I thought, well, I can just freely eat, that kind of scared me, because I could go freely eat. But I didn't want the consequences of that. And I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to eat. I really didn't. Because I always thought, well, just eat to live, don't live to eat. But deep inside, there's a part of me that wanted to live to eat. You know what I mean? It's so fun to eat. But relationship with Jesus opens the door for him to fill up that hole so that I'm not waking up living to eat because I've got the insatiable desire to fill up. As we walk with the Lord, he teaches us and guides us how to be filled up by him and still enjoy food and enjoy him in the midst of it. What was originally intended as a gift from the Father to enjoy has become a tool by Satan, the devil, to twist and defile God's original design of enjoying it and enjoying it with God. Not to mention all the ways that food itself, you know, it's processing and manipulation and excessive manufacturing can even defile the food itself, can't it? Unfortunately, we do fall for that little trick still today of turning to the food, running to the food. Eve fell for it in the garden, and we can still today. But do we have to? Do we really have to fall for that trick? While we can't remove the presence of sin and temptation in this world, we can choose to obey God. We can choose in that moment not to get out of hand with food. His Holy Spirit does give us all we need to use self-control. He does say freely eat. He says it's good, enjoy it. But we also want to take into account everything else he says. You don't want to take a truth out of the Bible and not pay attention to the rest. That can be very dangerous. And he does say, along with those other things we talked about, he says, well, don't be a glutton. That can hurt you. Don't be a glutton. It'll separate me from you because you're turning to food again to fill up that hole or fill up that little space you had there. And he says, you know, all things are lawful. Hey, you can eat freely. But keep in mind, not all things are beneficial. He says, all things are lawful. You can eat it all. But you don't want to be mastered by anything. So I say, okay, Lord, help me. What do I know? What do I know is mastering? Is there something, a food mastering me? Do I just need to abstain for a while from that? Can't do that by myself. I need a buddy. I need some accountability. I need a friend. I'm not strong enough. Or I say, what's not beneficial to my body right now in the season of my life, if I'm, you know, a health issue? So he says, eat freely, enjoy it, delight in me as you do, enjoy the fellowship. God loves to eat all throughout the beginning to the end of Scripture. It's all about food. Food's all throughout Scripture. That's a whole other conversation one day. It'd be fun to look at all the different times God engaged in food with us. Jesus ate all the time with people. He fed them. He ate with them. But we don't want to be mastered by anything. For me, there are things I knew mastered me at some point years back. And I do abstain from them. I've just had to because I knew one drop would lead me down a path that just was ruling over me. And I had to stop. I'm not saying this is easy, by the way. I'm the first one to say this isn't necessarily easy. Sometimes the Lord gives us freedom like that. Other times it just takes some time to walk out a new habit. But I have found freedom, though, in what we're talking about today. In learning where my food issues came from and learning how to surrender them to God. And that's really the first step with anything. So wherever we are in our journey with food, we can, at the least, begin to look at it differently and consider surrendering it to God and growing in deeper relationship with Him rather than giving in to the enemy and falling for the trick that that's going to satisfy that hole. So in conclusion, it's clear in Scripture that God made food not only to be enjoyed, but also to delight in Him. Before humanity chose to disobey God, there was nothing that separated Adam and Eve from the Lord. The presence of God enveloped them in ways we can't comprehend. They ate in constant, glorious, unbroken presence of God, and it was good. And this, my dear friends, is the great challenge. This is the challenge for you and me, that we delight in God as we invite Him in and allow Him to fill those empty spaces. Have you ever stopped to think about or count, just for the fun of it one day, you should count how many times food is a topic in your day. And I'm saying count everything. Count emptying the dishwasher, filling the dishwasher, doing the dishes, preparing the food, looking up a recipe, buying the ingredients, going online and buying the ingredients, going to the grocery store, parking in the parking lot, getting the cart, getting your shopping list going, tipping the waitress, dieting, reading another book about it, another book and another book and another book about it, abstaining from it, counting calories, worrying about it, loving it, hating it. We can be so consumed by the issue of food because we need it to survive. We need it to survive. It's frightening to think if I don't have the food I need to be able to survive. Well, here is my family's dinner bell. When I ring this bell, my two precious ones come to the dining table. It's wonderful. What if food is the tool that every time we think of it, let it be a little bell in your mind to stop. Invite and delight. Invite Jesus into your moment and delight in Him in that moment. Okay? This is how that hole stays filled. So what does that look like? Well, I'm driving to Aldi and I do get to the parking lot. I grab my grocery list. Oh, God, I invite you into this grocery list. Thank you for helping me write it. So, you know, it's not a big, profound thing. I invite Him in, and I delight in Him as I get my grocery list. I walk in, and I'm walking by the oranges. Oh, hey, oranges. God, thank you for oranges. Hey, how many should I get, Lord? Now, I know I'm being a little silly and detailed, but get the spirit behind this because it's actually a really fun way to live. You'll never get bored at the grocery store either. Okay, but now we're going by the tempting thing. And you have told yourself, I'm not going to drink any more soda, or I am so not getting those cookies again. But there they are. Oh, God, help me right now. I invite you into this moment. I invite you in this moment. Help me. Okay, take my hand. All right, I delight in you. God, will you fill that hole in me? Will you fill it up? Because I'm already imagining where I would eat those and how many I would eat. Okay, you're back in your car. You're loading up your groceries. Thank the Lord for giving you arms to put them in. The point is, if we use food to glorify God, to invite Him into our lives, to delight in Him, instead of letting the enemy use food in all the sneaky, irritating, and even blatantly open ways that he does in our lives, how much more, after just one day, after just one week of living this way, will we have open, beautiful relationship with God? How much more would we have talked with God about our daily life? How much more will we be inspired to read this and we'll start quoting what we just read? And it'll pop off on the page the next time we open it. And God will just start making Himself so ever-present with us because we are inviting Him in and delighting with Him. This goes on and on. You wake up hungry, invite Him and delight Him. Sit down with your cup of tea at night, invite Him, delight in Him. Do you know what's going to happen too? Suddenly, I'm going to sit there and start talking with Him about something that has nothing to do with food. Suddenly, I'm going to realize I haven't talked with Him for 10 years about something that I don't want to rule my life anymore. Suddenly the things inside that hole that I've been trying to stuff in there and they just can't stay, but they stay in here and they stay in my heart. God comes in and works with me on it and gives me freedom from it. It's just a tool. Let food be used as a tool to invite and delight. So to close, I am going to pull up a chair. A lot of you guys who know me know this is almost a daily routine for myself, my family, my son. Often we'll pull up the chair. Let's pull up the chair for Jesus. Pull up the chair. Now, he's not literally sitting there. We all know that, right? And we also know that he lives inside the believer. So I've got the Holy Spirit with me everywhere I go. Thank you, Lord. And we also know that he doesn't like disappear and then reappear. Okay? He's not the invisible man. He's not the tooth fairy. He's certainly not Santa Claus. And he's not an imaginary friend. He's the savior of the universe. He's the way to heaven, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the Father. He died for our sins to bring us back into relationship with him. He created the universe by speaking. He said, light be, and light was. Okay? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So I do not do this to minimize him. It's for me. It's for me to have a visual reminder that he is with me. And he does come alongside me. And he does want to be a part of the work I'm doing on the computer. And he does want to be a part of teaching math to my son. And he does want to be a part of our dining experience. So pull up the chair for Jesus. Pull it up. You have a difficult conversation with your husband? Really? Honey, excuse me. I want to invite the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite Jesus into our conversation. He might chuckle at you. It's okay. The Lord sees. Pull up the chair. I'll tell you what, it's going to change the conversation a little bit. You pull up a chair when you're watching a movie. You pull up a chair when you're watching TV. Hey, invite Jesus into those moments. It's a wonderful way to live. And I will tell you something, it will change your life. It's awesome. I love it. So we get to put it to practice today. We get to pull up a chair for Jesus. At your tables, we get to invite Jesus into our food experience today. And delight in him as we eat and as we talk. Each of your tables, while you were in here, my invisible man went over and put the labels for Jesus to sit at each table. So you, when you go back to your tables, you're going to see Jesus has a welcome space in your table. He will have a name tag right there. Just like you have a name card at your place, he gets to join us. And it's just a way to put to practice some of the things we've talked about. And when you do this, if you notice you feel a little bit uncomfortable or just kind of weird or awkward or I feel self-conscious or something, you know what? Don't worry. Jesus wants us to get to a place in our relationship with him where we do know that he's a holy God and to be revered and worshiped and in awe. He is an all-consuming fire. But he also is not a little G God that says, you need to work your way to heaven. You better do all these things or else you won't make it. He wants relationship with us. And he did condescend into our world. And he was the word that was made flesh to dwell among us. And he wants to be a place of safety, of refuge, of relief, and be the tower that you run to for protection. Our Savior and our friend. Let's pray. I'll bless the food and I'll just kind of close out our time here and we'll transition over to food and also door prizes. Okay, let's pray. Lord, you are the only Savior, which makes you really the best friend we could have. And I know you would ask all of us, sweetheart, do you know me that way? Do you know me that way? I want you to know me that way. I want to know you that way. If there's any part of your heart that's just not fully surrendered to him, Don't be hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. You can't take it on. Don't practice religion. Please, just surrender it to Him. Surrender it to Him. We can't heal ourselves. We can't fix ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We go around trying to do it. We can't. If there's any part of your heart, just right now, in your mind with Him, God reads your heart. He can hear your thoughts, Lord. Lord, minister to the hearts of the women right now, God. Tell Him what that is. Surrender it to Him. Let Him touch it. Let Him feel it. Are you tired of wadding up the spitballs and watching them fall right through that hole in your heart? Are you exhausted? Trying to fix yourself? We can't. Please stop trying. There's a God-shaped hole and only He can fill it. Only He can. Will you practice the presence of God by bringing up a chair for Him? Will you do that in some special way that God shows you? Will you consider inviting and delighting every moment that, just use food as a trigger. Let it ring that bell. Oh, God, I invite you into this moment. Tell me how to delight in you. What does she mean by that? He'll teach you. God, I'm reminded of what happens when we get to heaven. All who have surrendered to Jesus, we will join you in heaven, God, and you will host a feast. You know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to eat. We're going to eat for 7 years. We're going to eat 7 earth years. We'll be in eternity, but for the equivalent of 7 earth years, we'll be up having a feast, a party with no sin and no death. We will do it not because we have to survive. We'll do it because He wants us to delight in Him. But ladies, only those invited will be there. And only those who have a name card at the place will be there. I've got good news. We're all invited. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. The world! He died for everybody and anybody who would surrender to Him, who would say, Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life. I want to come to the Father through You. And when you've done that, your name gets written in a book called the Book of Life. It's the guest list. And you come in and He says, welcome home, daughter. I've prepared a place for you at the table. Come. Delight in Me. Delight in Me as we partake together, and we will worship You there, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, I pray for any of us who are stuck in religion that You'd free us now in Jesus' name and catapult us into personal relationship with You, Jesus. And we pray for eternal life for any who do not know You, God, that today would be the turning point for all of us, God. Wherever we are in our relationship with You, Lord, may all of us, by the time we leave here, have our names written in that book. And all it takes, ladies, is a simple prayer of surrender to Jesus. Let go and let God. So, Father, now we pray blessings on the food. Touch it, fill it, bless it. We pray in Jesus' name there's like a supernatural, amazing taste in what we eat, just because we've been dwelling in You and on You and because You're present with us. We love You. We praise You. Bless all the hands of the precious women who have prepared and brought that food, Lord, and continue to bless our morning together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.